We shall read two places in the scriptures. Firstly, in Mark's Gospel, chapter 9, and then Matthew's Gospel, chapter 8. Mark 9, first of all, and at verse 17. Mark 9:17, and one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit, and wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And then verse 20. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming. And he asked his father, How long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, Of a child. And oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said unto him, If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him, and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore, and came out of him. And he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, He is dead. But Jesus took him up by the hand, and lifted him up, and he arose. Then Matthew chapter 8, from verse 2. Matthew 8, verse 2. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will. Be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. These two passages have some things in common. Two men pray to our Lord for urgent healing. The first, the leper, for himself, and the second, the father, for his son. Both are said to exercise faith. In Matthew 8, the leper says, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And the father in verse 9, in Mark chapter 9, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. Thirdly, both illustrate faith to us, but in separate ways. The leper in Matthew 8 was strong in faith. The father of the boy struggled, but won through. And then fourthly, both had their prayers answered. The leper, Matthew 8, immediately was cleansed, and the man in Mark 9, eventually his son was delivered. Now I want us to look more closely at these two instances because they help us to answer certain questions like, what is true prayer? What is it to pray in faith and be answered? Why do I find unbelief when I pray. How is unbelief overcome? Let us take these two, and in the reverse order from which we read just now, starting with the father of the boy in Mark chapter 9, and particularly verse 23. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Now, here is the situation. A distraught father has a demon-possessed boy, and in his desperation comes to the Lord Jesus. And notice the words at the end of verse 22 in Mark 9. If thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. You see, the life of the father is bound up with the life of the boy. It's not him, it's us, my son and me. It's very touching. And when the Lord asks about this case, the father pours out the sad details to the Lord. And in verse 23, oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. And you see that in doing this, the man is already praying. At our Lord's invitation, the man gives the details and unloads the burden of his heart to the Saviour, telling the Lord all about it. Remember in the reading earlier, Matthew 14, when the disciples of John the Baptist took up his body and buried him, they went and told Jesus. And we can do no better, dear friends, regarding our needs and regarding the needs of others. Where does your particular distress take you? Or to whom does your distress take you? Can you go and tell Jesus? Do you go and tell Jesus? There's no better one to tell, and there's no better refuge and helper. But as he does this, he goes wrong. In verse 22, notice the words we've already read, but the Father says to the Saviour, if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. That if, there should never be any if when it comes to taking it to the Lord in prayer. If thou canst. What a thing to say to the Son of God, the God of heaven and earth incarnate on earth. If, as if the Lord might not be able to cure this boy. And you would think, wouldn't you, that the if there, casting doubt on the Saviour's ability, you would think that that would disqualify the man from any further listening to by the Lord Jesus Christ. But the wonder is, dear friends, the Lord doesn't disqualify his prayer. He puts him right. Verse 23, if thou canst believe. And that's where the if should be. Not if I can deliver, but if you can believe. And that's the issue, isn't it? And the Lord does not reject our faulty prayers, but he graciously corrects them. And that's a great comfort. Now, in one sense, we can understand the father going wrong with this, because you see, there was great distress that lay behind his words as he poured out this terrible story of this demon-possessed boy from a child and the attempts of the devil to destroy his life and the terrible suffering it had brought upon him and the father and doubtless the family. His distress lay behind this. And of course, emotions can overwhelm us, can't they? And in our desperation, when we try to pray, we can be worrying aloud rather than praying. But the Lord is very patient. And like here, he is a merciful and kind Saviour, and he can pick meaning out of the most confused prayers. And you must know, and I must know, dear friends, that even in our desperate crying to the Lord, and not very well done in terms of how we put it and the degree of faith to which we exercise, know that those cries can be interpreted by heaven as real prayer. It's the heart the Lord looks at. It's the sincerity and the reality that the Lord respects. And it's all here in this man, though his faith is not as it should be. And of course, the very fact that he was rehearsing the great need brought it all back to him, didn't it? Of a child. And oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. If thou canst do anything, rehearsing it like this made the thing seem so big and so impossible. And sometimes we do that, don't we? We look at the greatness of the need and the seeming impossibility of the situation, and faith is staggered by it. But the fact is that the sheer greatness of this need would bring all the more glory to the Saviour in his answering this prayer. Don't stop at the need, but rather think of the great deliverer and how that the excellency of the power will be of him. Ephesians 3 and verse 20, unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. It's not the greatness of the need, it's the greatness of the one you pray to, and his omnipotent arm and his outstretched hand and his heart toward you. But rehearsing this great need overwhelms him as well as the emotions involved. And he says, if you can do anything, help us. But you see, the father of this boy learned an important lesson. If thou canst believe, that's the point. And notice his response. Straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. And you see, as soon as he exercises the faith in the Lord's ability, he finds a contrary principle in him, unbelief. And who that has ever prayed has ever known anything different from that? The fact is, dear friends, that real faith will always have to struggle with our native unbelief, the fruit of our remaining sin and corruption. It's never a straightforward thing to trust and have total confidence. Mine unbelief. And of course, it was a grievous discovery to the father, wasn't it? Help mine unbelief. He deplored it. And you see, if you have grace, if you have the grace of faith, if you're a true believer, if you're really looking to the Lord for something, you'll find that as you come to him and pray to him and exercise the faith, there will be that resistance and that being held back. When I would do good, evil is present with me, the apostle says in Romans 7. It's remaining sin and the sin of unbelief amongst it. Do you deplore it? Well, it's a gracious thing if you do, because unbelievers don't deplore it. For unbelievers, unbelief is all they know. But you see, a living Christian, or someone being dealt with by the Lord and brought to him perhaps in conversion, and being brought to saving faith, there will be that struggle with unbelief. But again, the sincerity of the Father. Lord, I do believe, but oh, help mine unbelief. He was real, wasn't he? And he was not covering anything up or pretending, but was really sincere. And now, though, he's got another concern besides his demon-possessed boy. And that unbelief of his is the greater problem than the devil in his boy. And so the Lord is teaching him something before granting the answer to his prayer. And sometimes, you see, the Lord has a work to do in us before he works for us in giving us our desire and the answer to our prayer. He's in fact answering another prayer first, or another need first, our unbelief and our faultiness in prayer. And that's why, or one reason why, there are delays in the answer to our prayers. Because the Lord is teaching us meanwhile. And the Lord is showing us things and working things in us, exercising us, dealing with us. But delays are not denials. Because you haven't got your prayer answered yet, doesn't mean to say he won't answer it. It's that he wants to address another need first, a more urgent need first. Our unbelief, our faulty praying. But then, you see, the Lord grants the deliverance. Verse 25, when Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. And so the prayer is answered. But there was a willingness on the part of the Father to learn the lesson first about where the if should lie. Not if I can do anything, but if you can believe and your unbelief. And he had learned that lesson. And dear friends, that's an important thing as well, because you see, if we're not hearing God's word and being corrected, then we are not in a position to be blessed. Proverbs 28 verse 9. He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be abomination. And William Gurnall the Puritan puts it this way. When people do not mind what God speaks to them in his word, God does as little mind what they say to him in prayer. But it was not so here. He was willing to hear the word of instruction, correction, challenge, gracious dealings, so that his faith would be helped against the unbelief. And it's a lesson perhaps for someone here this morning who might not be a Christian at all, or someone hearing this word today. Because this approach to the Lord, if thou canst, help me. As I say, this was not rejected, although it was corrected. But it led to a right exercise of faith and the answer to the prayer. And there have been those unconverted who have nonetheless felt challenged about the gospel. They've heard the good news of Christ, who've died for sinners on the cross. And they've heard that because he died on the cross and shed his blood for sinners, God's forgiveness can come freely to the one who repents and turns to Christ and trusts him as their saviour. But they're all mixed up about it. They're not certain about it, but they feel a need, and they somehow believe that the Lord can save them And it might say something like, Lord, if you are real, please reveal yourself to me. Please come to me. Please deal with me. Sort me out. And you see, that kind of praying is never rejected by the Lord. Those who are now real Christians may well have begun like that. Not very promisingly, but yet sincerely, calling upon the name of the Lord as best they know how. And my dear friend, it might be that that's what you need to do. And you don't have that saving faith yet. You know you're not saved yet. And yet you have knees. Well, then get alone with the Lord and go down on those knees. And you have a tongue and the gift of speech. Well, then open it in the presence of the Lord. And Lord, if you're real, if you're there, come to me and deal with me. Help me. And you'll find he will not turn you away. For this Saviour is infinite in his grace and pity and mercy. And he reads sincerity and bypasses so much else that might not yet be right. If that were not so, where would any of us be today? Who of us have ever started right? We've started sometimes far from it, but we've ended right. And by God's grace, we have been brought savingly to the Lord Jesus Christ. And his death for sinners has been put to our account. And we've been saved from our sin and condemnation. And we've been reconciled to God. And we've become a child of God. And then faith has grown as the Lord has taught us. And the unbelief is still there. We struggle against it. But nonetheless, faith grows stronger. Unbelief is kept down. And we grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. The father of this boy, he teaches us so much. And may the Lord enable us to come this way. And if you have tears in it all, so much the better. Remember Hezekiah, God said, I have heard thy prayer. I have seen thy tears. When it's real, him that cometh unto me, says Jesus, I will in no wise cast out. So the father. And then secondly, the leper. Matthew 8 now and verse 2. And you see a similar thing here, so much in common and yet important differences. Here is the man now. Matthew 8 verse 2, a very brief account here of this, a little snapshot. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. You see where the if is there? It's in the right place, isn't it? It's not the if now casting doubt on the Saviour's ability. It's the if calling into question whether the Lord is willing or not. And so he has it right. But notice even before that, verse 2, there came a leper and worshipped him. That's not said of the father of the boy. But you see, it reminds us that this is really in essence what true prayer is. It's worship. In fact, the word for prayer, as we find it in Philippians 4 and verse 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and so on, supplication, thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. But this word prayer, it's a word which has towards in it. And it's only used of speaking to God and asking of God. And so prayer is first of all worship. Lord. And that's where we begin rightly. Sometimes we rush into his presence, don't we? Sometimes we come thoughtfully and start praying immediately, not remembering who he is and what he is like. And we come boldly, which is right, but also worshipfully. Lord, acknowledging he is God, acknowledging that he is worthy, and with reverence and recognition, hallowed be thy name. When we do that, it gives us the right perspective. Remember what we sang earlier? Psalm 46 verse 10, be still and know that I am God. Perhaps not enough stillness in our praying. Maybe more talking than stillness. But the stillness should be there. Knowing he is God. Well, then you've advanced from that worship and it's real praying. And as I say, the if there is in the right place, isn't it? Verse 2. If thou wilt. Not if thou canst. Because he doesn't presume that the Lord will heal him of his leprosy. He leaves it uncertain and is submissive. And that is right, because why should he presume that the Lord will answer this prayer? He's got no ground for it, except the Saviour's compassion, of course, but he can't be absolutely certain. And so, if thou wilt, if it is thy will, I know that you can. And that is true faith, isn't it? That is confidence in the Saviour's ability. And that is how it should be. Of course, we can qualify that and say, there are certain matters over which there are no ifs and buts when we come to God in prayer. If we have a promise in Scripture, then we have the gracious right to believe it and humbly claim it, because there are no ifs with that. If God promises us something, he says, I will that you should have it. Now, for instance, Ezekiel 36, verse 37, at the end of a marvellous chapter, glorious promises about the future of the church in gospel times, and all these marvellous things. And then at the end, in verse 37 of Ezekiel 6, he says, and yet, for these things I will be inquired of by the house of Israel to do it for them. Well, if the Lord has promised these glorious things and says, now pray for them, ask for them. There's no if or but about that, is there? It's saying, Lord, I thank thee for the promise. Fulfill it to me. In Daniel 9, the prophet Daniel, he read in the book of Jeremiah that the 70 years captivity in Babylon were coming to an end. And he remembered the promises about the return from exile. And he set himself to pray for it. No ifs. But praying definitely that the Lord will keep his word. And so for us, dear friends, for instance, in Isaiah 41 and verse 10. Do you feel your weakness? Do you feel inadequate? Do you feel fearful? Well, Isaiah 41 verse 10, I will help thee, says God. Well, there's no if about that. He promises his help to you. Well, thank him for it and ask him to keep his word and go in the strength of the Lord your God. No if there. Philippians 4 verse 19, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus, shall supply all your need. Well, there's no if there, is there? No but. He promises it. His resources of heaven and earth will be brought to bear upon the provision that you might stand in need of. Say to the Lord, please do it. Thou canst. And you'll find he'll not fail you. 1 Thessalonians 4 verse 3. This is the will of God, even your sanctification. Well, there's no if about that, that he will work in your heart and life to make you more holy and sanctify you as a Christian. He'll have his way with you, and he'll chasten you, perhaps humble you, exercise you, lift you up, encourage you, bless you, any way that will be effectual for our sanctification. It's the will of God. And when you ask the Lord to make you more holy, you can depend upon it, the Lord will answer that prayer. He can. One more perhaps. James 4 verse 6. But he giveth more grace. Do you need grace? Whatever form that grace needs to take for you. God's provision, his gift, his blessing. More grace. Well, he promises it. And you can say, Lord, give me more grace. Thou canst. Well, there's no if or but with that. But you see, when there's not a promise, when it's for something personal, something other than what's clearly promised in God's word, there is uncertainty. We don't know for sure if it is the Lord's will to grant that to us, unless we have some special, I say it carefully, but some special making known of the Lord. And I guess that there were men who did have special insight as to what the Lord's will was. Men like Hudson Taylor, for instance, and George Muller, who were led to pray the prayer of faith and to pray definitely for things that for the rest of us perhaps might have seemed uncertain. But it's almost as if the secret of the Lord was with them that fear him, and as if the Lord led them to ask for certain things, and they asked for them in confidence and got them. I forget who it was now. Was it George Muller or was it Hudson Taylor? But they were on a ship sailing somewhere. I think it was George Muller. And there was a great fog that came down, and the ship was sort of going round aimlessly and losing its way. And I think it was George Muller. He had to be in a certain country at a certain time for meetings. And he had the boldness to say to the captain, we're going to pray and the Lord will deal with this fog, clear it away. He prayed, asked the Lord to clear away the fog, and before long the fog went and the ship sailed on its way. Now who of us would dare do that? But it seemed as if there are some instances when there's no if thou wilt, thou canst, but thou wilt and thou canst. But that doesn't set the rule for us, but that these are exceptions. But when it's personal things, practical things, certain matters that we bring to the Lord, it's our faith is in the Lord's ability to do it. We have to say, if thou wilt, but we also say, thou canst. And we can say, Lord, I believe thou canst do this, if it is thy will. And the prayer of faith in this instance is faith in the Lord's ability and power to be able to do it. Now you've got an instance of this in further down in Matthew chapter 8. In verse 8 there. The centurion coming to the Lord and asking the Lord to heal his treasured servant. And Matthew 8 verse 8, I'm not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. Now there's faith and confidence in the Lord's ability. If thou wilt, thou canst. And then look at verse 13. Go thy way, says Jesus, as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And the faith was not in the Lord's willingness to do it, in the sense of that it was surely his will. It was the Lord's ability. And you've got it again in the next chapter of Matthew, chapter 9, verse 28. And there were two blind men, and they're in the house, and they've called to Jesus for mercy, the opening of their eyes, that they might see. Jesus saith unto them, believe ye that I am able to do this? They said unto him, yea, Lord. Then touched he their eyes, saying, according to your faith, be it unto you. Believe that I am able. And that is the prayer of faith. Confidence in his power. I don't know for sure if the Lord is going to save such and such. But if he wills, he can. I don't know for sure if the Lord will grant me the desire of my heart concerning a personal matter. But if thou wilt, thou canst. And the Lord takes that as the faith that is required. And according to your faith, be it unto you. Now look at the beautiful thing that happens as we conclude. The Lord is affected greatly by this man. If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will. Be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy left him. Now in Mark's account here, it says Jesus was moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him, and so on. It moved our Lord, this exercise of such great faith, right faith. If thou wilt, thou canst. And notice Jesus actually touches the leper. You don't touch a leper, not humanly speaking. That leprosy was a contagious disease. But our Lord touches him in compassion and in the exercise of omnipotent power. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And dear friends, we can lay hold of this and in prayer say something like this. O Lord, have compassion on me and my prayer, and say, I will. And see what he will do. Say, I will. And so, in these two, the father of the boy and the leper, you have faith. The one object of faith, the Son of God. Imperfect faith that struggles and won through. More straightforward, direct faith that came to the Saviour and was likewise honoured. But dear friends, let us come to Christ. Let us come to God in Christ. Prove him. Trust in him with all our hearts and find he will do more for us than we ever imagine, to his glory and praise. Amen.